What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special episode of Miss the Bus podcast. This is a movie review. We just saw Ant-Man and the Wasp. We're super excited to talk about it and dive into it. Before we do, if you like what we do, you can subscribe to us on iTunes at Miss the Bus podcast, on Twitter at Miss the Bus pod, Facebook, just search Miss the Bus. We're on all kinds of different podcast
things.
Mm-hmm. Stitcher, Google Play. You can find it. We're all over the place. But yeah, check out our other stuff if you like this review. And I'm one of your hosts, Matt, joined today by Tyler, Bailey, Omar.
Hey.
Hey.
Yo.
Happy to be here.
As always. but yeah, like I said, we saw Ant-Man and the Wasp. We're probably going to do about a 5-10 minute spoiler-free discussion of it. And then we'll jump into more of like an in-depth spoiler. We'll let you know when you can jump off, though. If you haven't seen the movie yet, like I said, the first 10 minutes or so will be safe for you. But yeah, so we saw it. What's everybody think?
So good.
So good.
I enjoyed that movie very much. It was fun, and Paul Rudd is great, and I'm always going to love everything he's in, so I know it makes me biased, but I would like somebody, one person, to tell me, even if it was a bad movie, if he was bad in it.
He was so bad.
Are you thinking of
no,
Mute?
No, he was not.
I am. I'm thinking of Mute, but he was not bad in Mute.
He's not.
He was what saved.
He probably steals the show.
Exactly. So I'm just saying.
Which he does in this.
And
he was amazing in this movie.
And they had so many characters in this movie that like didn't necessarily steal the spotlight from anything, but it's just everybody was very strong in their performances, and it meshed really well. Mm. And I thought this was great. I enjoyed it, and I love Marvel movies, so I know that doesn't mean much. But
at this point, they've got their formula. They just keep
they know they know what works, so they're doing it really well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I really enjoyed this movie. I probably liked the first one the least out of everybody here, but this one was, I don't know, it was so funny, dude. I enjoyed it so much. Just a lot of moments where you're just, like, laughing hysterically. And it's not like you're just, you know, like, the only one laughing. Like, the whole theater was laughing when we saw it. The plot, not to say it was simple, but not...
It definitely was.
It was, but I mean, still, like, a lot was happening. You know, they were... Well, yeah, I keep forgetting this is not the
spoiler. But
yeah,
definitely...
but it was simple. I do like the fact that the villain and everything was going on. It wasn't like anything major, like, oh, the fucking world was ending or anything. And I love that because so many movies do that shit and it gets kind of tiring. I understand it's not always the same approach, but I just hate the whole, like, large scale kind of, you know, ending or whatever, or threat. So this movie wasn't that, you know. They were they had a reason for what they were doing, you know, like they were trying to save a certain character or whatever. Really, really enjoyable, and I think everybody for the most part would enjoy this movie, whether you're a fan of Ant-Man or not. Honestly, it's just like a fun movie.
Well, yeah, it was more, it's way more of a comedy than
an action
movie.
Exactly.
And I think they were doing the same thing that they were trying to do with Ragnarok, which for Ant-Man's character works really well, just for Thor. So, I mean, they did exactly what
and,
they needed to
do. Yeah, and that's the thing. Ant-Man isn't really a character, or at least in this universe, he's not really a character to where you have to like include him with all the Avengers or even really talk about them a lot in the movie. Just, you know, in the way they tied it, I think worked for a character like Ant-Man. The movie obviously focused a lot more on Scott and his world and everything revolving around that. So I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, Matt's here we go with the grapes again.
Popping up another grape.
I know how to be correct about it.
Let's see. But yeah, that's what I thought. How about you, Tyler?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was funnier than the first one.
Yeah.
Just overall, like the whole movie from start to finish is really funny. It's really fun to watch. It's entertaining. I don't feel like it was a million times necessary as some of the other Marvel movies, but I still like it's just really fun. It doesn't really matter if it is or it doesn't, just go see it.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah.
I think it served as like a very like well-needed like palate cleanser.
And I think that's the point of it, cuz Infinity War was dark, so I think they were like, fuck it, let's just make a fun movie
like
to just come afterwards.
That's exactly what
and
it
I
was.
Think if you're a fan of the MCU at this point, you're on board with what they're doing. So not to say like anybody you really like wanted a break from Infinity War, but at the same time maybe you did need one, just in the sense that if at least it wasn't going to directly impact what happened in Infinity War, like the main plot of the movie.
Yeah.
So don't tell a story that tries to be as big as it. Just tell a story that's just more about having fun and being funny. And it was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like y'all are saying, this is way more of a comedy, and that's what it should have been, and that's what it succeeded as. And like the plot definitely suffers in that extent because it's not very.
There
like,
is
even though it's a much smaller scale plot, not to make a joke about Ant-Man or anything, but just because like since it isn't like this like end of the world type thing that's going on, there are other parts. Like, that's not the reason why the plot has problems. I think there are, like, a few pacing issues, and there are, like, just the way some of it kind of jumps around and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I didn't necessarily have a problem with it being such a small-scale thing. I wanted that. I fucking loved it so much. As a comedy, it works. Like,
I think I like the first one a little more.
Really?
Really.
The villain's probably better in this one.
Well, yes. Cross but was so not slightly. That great of a
villain. Yeah. Thing is, I love the actor that plays Cross.
Right.
So, like, for me,
and I never thought Cross was that bad.
That's the thing. I don't know if I go as far as to say
he's not awful.
I might like him more. I think I might.
He's kind of more memorable. I never really had a problem with him. I feel like he's kind of more memorable.
I think it was kind of cool, not to get too distracted by the first Ant-Man, but I kind of liked how some of the stuff he did at the beginning of that movie, like just like using the fucking zap thing on somebody and then just like squashing them with his shield. Yeah,
he's kind of.
His motivations made more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the villain. I would say the weakest part about this movie, even more so than like some of the weird pacing things, is the villains.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. There's a few. I just don't really care. And one of them's kind of a throwaway.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He doesn't really matter that much.
And it's weird. It's weird to try to pinpoint like who is the main villain of this thing.
Yeah.
Because that's, you're like, I don't know.
That's
really
one of the
know.
Jumping around things that I kind of referring to. Because it's like something would happen in the movie that would kind of fuck them over, but then a different villain would kind of pop up and fuck them over a different way. Yeah, and it was like a constant circle, kind of.
I feel like a lot in this movie, too, there's a lot of things that probably should be explained because it doesn't make any sense how certain things were happening. But it's also another thing where it's like it's a movie about a man that shrinks to the size of an ant, so you can't really look into it.
It definitely asks
that
you to just like suspend your disbelief like beyond a certain point, and then also to just put certain things together, too. Not that the plot's complicated at all, but just they really don't show you everything when we're talking about things jumping around. Sometimes you do really have to like assume certain things just happen, and the movie wanted to be 2 hours and it wasn't going to be any longer than that,
right.
So they were just like, we don't have time to show you how they got from point A to point B. They just did it.
Yeah.
So, and that's, again, that's something that like I don't think I really would have wanted more, like in that sense. Like, I don't want to see stuff that didn't, if it wasn't going to be funny and it didn't serve like a purpose other than showing that, I'm not saying that I really wanted to see it. So it's hard to even knock the movie for some of like the jumpiness and stuff. And maybe there's just a better way to edit it or cut it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It gets kind of technical at that point because it's just something you notice, and it didn't like detract from the movie, but it is kind of.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, because it's Tyler
talking
about.
I know exactly
what you're talking about.
They just expect you to ignore that kind of stuff.
Right. But yeah, so we all thought it was funny. We all kind of were liked how it was lighthearted.
Yeah, definitely.
Really get
it's just an easy movie to watch.
Yeah. Really, really enjoyable.
I guess we can all kind of, since this isn't really a spoiler, if we're going to do this now, we can all kind of say, do we like it more than the first one or second one? Tyler, you slightly like Ant-Man 1 more, right?
Yeah, I think my reasoning would go into spoilers a little bit.
Okay.
So I'll explain it later.
I guess that's true.
It's not by like a large scale. It's not by like, I like the first one 10 times more.
Right.
I feel like the first one, I kind of just give it a little more of an edge, I guess. Because I kind of like the way they did Paul Rudd's character and like introducing him and stuff a little more. I enjoyed it more, I guess. But I mean, this movie's still really enjoyable.
Right. What about the supporting characters? Y'all like a lot of returning ones, like Michael Peña's character.
Oh, for sure.
That whole group.
I think they did way better with those characters in this, which they were great in the first movie, but they really, I guess, understood what this character group was going to be. So they like completely fed into that.
Well, they knew kind of like how big of a smash hit that whole circle of like
they're fucking
like they work really well together. Yeah. So they, I mean, all the parts with them, like comedy wise, hit for me. I thought like I didn't get tired of anything like ongoing stuff at all either.
I do kind of wish T.I. and the other guy were in it a little bit more.
Yeah, because they're so funny.
Because Michael Peña's in it a lot. And they're kind of just there.
Yeah.
Bro, Michael Peña is so fucking funny.
He is really funny,
He's so fucking hilarious.
That's what I'm saying. They know what they've got with them because they're so good. Visually really cool too, right? I mean,
oh yeah.
This isn't really too much of a spoiler because if you've watched any of the trailers, you see kind of like the kitchen fight and stuff like that. And you know, the movie was going to do a lot of just like expanding things, making them smaller, and just using that as the set pieces for the fight. So, even aside from what was already that you saw in the trailers, I thought that like a lot of it was really cool and clever. You know what I mean?
I feel like some of the stuff they did with that, with using the technology, was a little cooler in this one.
Yeah.
I would give it that edge.
For sure.
Like some more creative points.
Because it's one of those things where they made the first movie, they knew what they had in the first movie. It's just a little bit more of the same, but in the sense that we're going to be like, okay, well, what else would be cool? How do we kind of tell a story like that, but make it?
I still think the train moment in the first one, the Thomas the Tank Engine, is still the best.
Yeah.
But there are things in this that are a lot better than some of the stuff in the first one when it comes to that.
Agreed. All right, so we're about 10 minutes, so that's fine. We'll get into spoilers now. If you haven't seen the movie, I think all four of us recommend it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So definitely go check it out, especially if you're just invested in this universe at this point. Definitely go watch it. And I would definitely, if you haven't seen it, just hop off now, maybe come back and listen to it after. But we're definitely going to spoil it from here on out. So what do we want to talk about first? We'll leave the after credits scene until later.
Well, the first thing that's popping in my head, so they were trying to, I mean, you can only be like, you see Paul Rudd really big, like he does the whole like giant thing, and then he's like obviously the size of an ant, but then they do the preschool.
That's
like,
what I was just thinking.
When they have him, they're like, his suit's malfunctioning, so he's like the size of a child, and they're like, in a broom closet or something. Like, what do we do? And then they look at the lost and found box. And then you see Paul Rudd with a giant sweatshirt just like running down the hall.
I swear to God,
like,
dude,
child.
When he was running and he was like swinging his arms. And it was just so like the sleeves are like all over the place.
And that's going into the whole like, there is no really need for that scene, but it was so funny.
It's so
and
hilarious.
It did so well.
That's what I'm saying. Deadpool 2.
Right.
Yeah, that's
what it reminds me of.
In a movie like this, it's like those scenes that don't really involve like the plot a ton. Those are like some of the best parts of the movie when it's literally there just for comedy, because that's all that scene was.
Oh,
it was just straight comedy, and it was a little hilarious.
And that works for like a character like Ant-Man. I mean, it's I don't know. I loved it.
Well, Paul Rudd, obviously, he nails pretty much every role he's given at this point.
His comedic timing is perfect.
He's got it down to a point. We don't need to tell you how good Paul Rudd is. But he definitely, when those scenes like that, he shines so much. He's so funny.
I think this movie was like also way more about the Wasp. Like it was more about her, like Hope's character.
Well, the whole opening is like pretty much just going through the whole backstory of like Hope's mom being lost in the quantum realm. And so her and her dad obviously are like trying to figure out a way to get her back because they found out like you could come back because Paul Rudd came back in the first movie. So.
And they're on the run because.
And they're on the run.
Because of like Scott using the suit with
Germany.
Captain America, and
right?
And, they know
and that's
kind of
cool because this movie definitely still feels connected because they bring that up, you
right?
know? The whole part about him, like why he's arrested, and he's like, "We went to go help Cap," and they make jokes about that.
It's so funny that he's like Cap, and she's like Cap, and he's just like Cap, Captain America. God, it was so funny.
Like, that's just what we call him.
That and the whole like shrinking of the building they were in,
turning into a suitcase. There's one part where they. The building gets shrunk again, but Lawrence Fishburne was in the building.
I was thinking that too.
And it got shrunk, and then he's just outside of the building. But like,
that's the part. That's the whole science thing with Ant-Man in general, because it's like the same thing where when Michael Pena's driving the car, like he's shrinking with the car, and I'm not really understanding why they can shrink.
What do you mean? Just like, well, all the cars have that thing
right,
in the middle.
Right, but like he shrinks with the car. So like what I thought like you had to be in the suit in order to shrink.
Right. I just thought like
there's so many logic problems because then you even think about Ghost, one of the villains or whatever you're going to call Ghost. But when they first introduce her character, even as like a young child and she's got the issues with phasing through everything.
Mm-hmm.
But like so you even think like in her room, like she can't grab the teddy bear, but she's like still standing on the floor and like sitting on her bed and stuff and not going through
that. Oh, I didn't even fucking think about
that.
That's
the thing. It's like, stuff like that, they just, I guess, expect you to
She would just fall through the earth.
Like, right. Because, see, that's where my mind starts going, because I'm thinking, like, okay, so why can she sit on the bed? But then it's like, do you really just have to suspend your disbelief? Because then are you just going to assume, she's going to fall through the earth all the way to the fucking core
falling.
And burn?
What I kept thinking with the Lawrence Fishburne thing is when the building would shrink down the sides, wouldn't it just fucking like smack him on the way down? You know what I mean? Like, he would not feel okay with a building shrinking through him like that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, and again, so like now, since we've been able to talk a little bit more about what the actual plot was, you can see why it was a little bit more of a simple thing. And I guess the story, like we said, was really set up from the first Ant-Man. We knew as soon as that movie ended that the sequel was going to be about going back to get
her mom.
Her mom.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, that's what everybody was kind of wanting from this movie anyway.
Right.
So that's why I really think it kind of plays into it that it didn't have that complicated of a plot because everybody was really already on board for seeing this part of the story. It's like the next evolution of it.
Yeah.
Movie was also very touching and sweet. All the stuff with
his daughter.
Like him and his daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Even the way it starts, like with them just going down the slide and stuff. Like some of that stuff is so cool.
They show him like in house arrest.
And that's what I wanted to say of why I think I like the first one a little more. Because in the first one, like in the beginning, he gets out of prison. He's really trying to be this good guy. He's trying to be there for her, but it's kind of just things keep going wrong. But in this one, it's like she already loves him. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like in the first one, he kind of had to work for it. And that's kind of the aspect.
He did. The thing is, she still looked up to her dad, for sure.
But I like I liked a little more about the first one was him really trying to be a good guy.
Right.
Like, and in this one, he is a good
guy.
And
I think in the first one, too, because he's definitely trying. I think he's almost trying more for that whole family.
Yeah.
You know, with...
I did like the everybody, like Judy Greer and Bobby Cannavale.
Every single time he saw him. He was just calling, like, buddy.
Yeah.
Like, hey, buddy.
Like, I liked all that a lot.
Like, a big hug.
I feel like, in a way, you could relate his relationship with Cassie to Hope's relationship with her dad, with Hank, in the first movie. How Hank is, you know, trying to reinvent things or whatever
Hope.
And Scott is trying to reinvent things with Cassie. And then the second movie, him and his daughter are close. And so is Hope and her mom. I don't know. I just kind of...
Yeah, no, I get that.
I see that.
And that's why this does work as almost relatable. Like a part two kind of thing.
Yeah.
It does. It was, like I said, it's like the general evolution of where this story would go.
The scene where they're starting to work towards getting Hope's mom back, and she like takes control
of Scott.
Yeah, Paul Rudd. It was really, really
you know who it reminded me of? It reminded me of Schmidt from New Girl. Like the way he was like acting and everything. It's just like the way Schmidt talks.
Schmidt literally just acts like that 24/7.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck, dude.
It's just funny too, because like at first, like, you didn't even realize what was happening until, like, he looked at, like, Hope, and he was like, oh, sweetie. And then, like, touched her cheek, and I was like, what?
And when he was holding Hank's hand.
And then Hank Pym's, like, and he, like, realizes it's her. And then, like, they're all just, like, sitting there holding hands.
It's so fucking funny.
And, like, it's just the way he was, like, talking and, like, the types of movements he was doing. It was so, it was perfect.
Yeah,
I love that scene.
We don't
so
talk
much.
About Michael Douglas enough either. I love Michael Douglas.
Yeah, me too.
He works so well as that character.
I do too. There is this one scene, though, where
he's overdramatic.
It's like the way he delivered a line, I was just like, man, this seems like something he would have, like in an 80s movie kind of thing. Like, the way he was, I guess that's the best way to put it. It was overdramatic. But
it was.
With him, though, he can get away
he
with
has
that.
I was going to say, it almost made his character that much funnier.
Yeah.
Because,
like, Michael Douglas, too, is just, he's always been a dramatic actor. So I feel like it just makes sense. But whenever I saw it, I was just like, whoa, that was.
I really enjoyed the dynamic him and Paul Rudd had, especially at the beginning of the movie, because obviously Hank Pym's like bitter because of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I really kind of liked that, because in the first movie, it's like the opposite, really. They're like much more buddy-buddy, and it's almost like Hank Pym's trying to get Paul Rudd to help him out. You know what I mean? And then this was like way more just like, no, I'm pissed at you. You're going to do what I want you to do.
Well, it was funny, the whole bit when he's like, you know, you got rid of my suit. That's my life's work. And then like 20 minutes later, he's like, you still have the suit? And he's like, it's your life's work.
Yeah,
I can hear it.
It's your life's work.
I thought it was really cool when they were, I guess I thought it was cool because I didn't expect it, but when they were all tied up, and he goes like, he was acting like he's, no, well, yeah, that part was fucking funny. Yeah. But I'm talking about when he was like, acting like he's having a heart attack, whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes like, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, the Altoids. Okay, Altoids. And the fucking ants like jump out and they're ready.
Well, it's funny too, because in the beginning he kept like, Paul Rudd kept trying to get the Altoids.
I knew that was going to come back. Yeah. I knew there was something.
I knew it was, but that's not what I was expecting. I don't know.
I was just like,
I thought there was like a fucking suit in there or something.
Yeah, I knew the Altoids were going to be something.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be ants.
It's funny though, because that scene is kind of what I think me and Tyler were talking about with some of the jumpiness, because
they
literally get the Altoids and the ants jump out and kind of chaos ensues, but then it literally just cuts to them being back into their fucking lab.
Yeah,
whatever.
There's another scene like that too where Michael Douglas, they're showing something with Ant-Man, I don't remember what, and then they switch and Michael Douglas is already in the building with Lawrence Fishburne in there, and it's like very just like it happens like that, and I was just kind of like, huh?
That's the thing, it doesn't show you how they actually get around,
which again, I guess it does. You don't need it, but
since this movie's functioning more of a comedy anyway, I think it works out. But then really the whole kind of like third act I thought was really good. And some of these Marvel, not really Marvel movies, I guess. Normally their third acts are pretty good. But I thought like that was almost where the movie shined anyway. Like even with the plot being the way it was, I thought like that's when you finally start seeing him going like bigger.
Yeah.
And so you had almost that new dynamic of, again, visually stuff that it's showing you. And it's still being funny as fuck. And
well, I completely forgot too. So whenever Hank Pym is like, I have to go talk to like my old colleague to like figure this out to get your mom back. It's Lawrence Fishburne. Then they like you find out that they kind of hate each other. And then our whole theater like gasped whenever like it was showing the villain ghost and she was like in some room and then like out walks Lawrence Fishburne. And you didn't realize, like, you immediately were like, oh, he's a bad guy, but he's not.
I
did
in the theater and we were watching. I forgot what he screamed, but he goes like a fucking twist, bro, or something like that.
Our like whole theater gasped at that. And because at first they make it seem like he's going to be a villain, but it's really just like he's trying to help this girl.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And like he thought he was doing the right thing, but it ended up not being the right thing.
I liked him in this movie.
What did y'all think of Ghost as like a character? Like, I thought she looked super cool and there wasn't anything wrong with her.
I don't know. As a character, I thought she was okay. At times I thought she was cool. As a villain, no. I mean, absolutely not.
I didn't really care for her performance that much.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking
just
the same thing.
Just her kind of her brooding, like I get it, but I don't.
But yeah, I guess they were trying to do the whole like she's in pain constantly, but it wasn't really portraying that way. It more seemed like she was just like bitter. Like she wasn't, which I mean, it makes sense because both her parents died.
Right. We've just seen like at least that sense of like, I would compare it to X-Men when you see mutants where they're just like, they're dealing with like powers they don't understand. And they're like, so we just know like those characters always have like the rough childhood and then they end up figuring their powers out and being fine. And I think just, you know, it's kind of like exhaustion.
If she was the only thing about this movie, I wouldn't have liked it as much. But the fact that there was like other things happening and they, you know, were trying to save Hope's mom and all that.
Right.
Well, I think it just kind of, it was like, okay.
Her plot at least very much felt like the B plot of the movie.
Exactly.
Which is good.
The way they explained like why she is the way she is too, the whole time I was just like, I mean, she is S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Bucky. Because like, the Winter Soldier, like, they pretty much were like, oh, like, we took her, and then we found out her powers, and then we pretty much brainwashed her into being, like, a killer. And then that was what S.H.I.E.L.D. did, but then, like, for Winter Soldier, obviously, Bucky like, that for Hydra. So,
I thought that, too, especially when they were showing the camera footage, I think, of her.
Yeah, because it looked very much like that. So, like, the camera footage from, like, Civil War, that's what it reminded me of, too, actually. Right.
Did y'all like Walton Goggins' character?
Who?
I loved him. I like him, but I wish he was like more intense.
I feel like they waste. Like he was really funny.
That's the thing.
And he was really cool, and I like him and everything. So, when I see him, but I feel like they kind of wasted his character a little bit because he's kind of a throwaway.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Like he could have definitely been more.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he was just in Tomb Raider too, and it was the same thing. He's kind of just, he's the villain. He's there.
He's pretty funny because it's just the way he talks and stuff. Like, so that's, like, it worked in that sense. But again, as a villain, I thought the villains in the movie were so weak anyway. So it sucks because I enjoyed him because I laughed at him a lot.
Right.
But I definitely wouldn't say he was like a good villain all.
It's so weird too because it's like Ghost was the villain for Ant-Man and the Wasp, but then like he was the villain for like the, like, lackeys of Ant-Man.
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of. I guess that makes it funnier if you look at it
like,
that way.
Like he's like their villain, whereas like Ghost is Ant-Man and the Wasp's villain.
The whole truth serum thing was
that
funny
was
as hell.
First of all,
I'm happy they did that with Michael Peña.
The
funny
amount of puns in this movie spoke to my soul.
Puns.
Like all the ant puns, and then like the fact that their name for their company was X-Con.
Oh yeah, that
was
great.
But like, so whenever they had the whole like scene where Walter Goggins' character like goes in and is pretty much like, tell us where they are, and then like they have the whole truth serum thing, and then they do
it's
the
not
whole
truth serum.
Well, they do the whole thing that they did in the first Ant-Man with Anthony Pena's character or
Michael
Luis.
Pena.
Did I say Anthony?
Anthony and Luis.
I was thinking of like Anthony, the ant.
Yeah,
dude,
you're making your own.
Oh, I thought it was fucking hilarious when Scott was trying to catch up with I forgot his name, the villain's name or whatever.
It was Antonio Banderas. Is that what you're talking about?
Jesus.
Yeah, when he's like naming the ants and he's fucking falling and they're getting eaten by the birds. I was dying.
Oh,
dude.
That was
so fucking funny.
But yeah, they did the whole like thing where is it Luis? Is that his
name?
I
can't remember his
Luis.
It is? Okay. His character like does the whole thing where he's like explaining everything in his way. But it's like extremely quick. And I mean, I loved that so much in the first one, but I'm glad when they did it in this movie, it's like they did it for a very long amount of time and then they never revisited that.
Yeah. I thought everything with Hope, like in that scene when he was
was acting,
it was fucking amazing. Like it was so awesome. And her movements and everything.
I love that.
With the accent. Yeah, dude, I fucking loved it so much.
I thought Randall Park, the guy that plays Asian
so
Jim.
Funny.
Yeah,
I thought he was really funny. I didn't know he was in this
Me
movie.
Neither. Yeah. I'm really glad he was, because I feel like that's another character that could have just been like they could have had anybody play that character and it wouldn't be funny, but
he
could have
really
accomplished
funny.
The role. But yeah, he was so funny.
They did that whole scene with them at the end. Everything, too, with the magic. Like
yeah.
When it's like he's in his office, like Paul Rudd's like saying like I had to learn magic to like entertain my kid, and then it shows him and his the security. I just said security guy. the Asian gym. They show him in his office, and he's like trying to do the same magic tricks on his computer.
Right, he's got the same website up and everything.
Just like small things like that.
Well, that's the thing. I think the movie succeeded because they had even characters like that. They just made sure they had such good chemistry with Paul Rudd, and they just gave him like just he's surrounded by people that he can play off of.
Exactly,
and so that worked so well for making the whole movie just feel as funny as it did. Probably got about 5 minutes left, so we should probably talk about the end credit scene. Hopefully everybody that watched this movie knows by now to stick around in Marvel movies.
There's two.
Right. Well, there's one worth talking about.
I know.
But yeah, so the end credit scene, obviously, if you've seen it, ties directly into Infinity War. I think there was a lot of speculation that obviously, because we know this takes place before, that it would kind of lead up to it and somebody would dust. And then literally without going like through the scene, obviously you've probably seen it. But how crazy is it now that we know this ties directly into that? Basically, it sets up a kind of like an opening plot line for Ant-Man 2 because he's kind of fucked now.
Yeah.
He's stuck in the quantum realm, and all three of Hope, Hank Pym, and whatever her mom's name is.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
All three of them vanished with Thanos' snap. So,
yep.
I mean, that's... That was really crazy.
The whole time they were like showing the after credits scene too, I'm just sitting there like, what, how are they going to have this play into that? Because you just had a feeling that it was going to happen. And I can tell you, I was not expecting whenever he's like saying like, okay, I got it. And then like no one's answering. Yeah. And then it skips back to them. Like,
I thought it was so fun.
Oh man.
The thing is, the way they showed that too. Like, you didn't actually see them poof.
You just cut back and it was already dust.
Gone. I thought that was really cool.
The thing is, we know he's going to be in, Avengers 4, whatever. Right. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the set photos. And
right.
Everything.
He's going to be a much bigger part because I think the quantum realm and whatever we learn from Captain Marvel are going to be the two key components to taking down Thanos.
So I guess we'll just see how they end up.
Yeah,
I just love it. I love it. I really was expecting.
Well, that's
it.
The thing.
I had this feeling, but it still was really hype when it actually.
Yeah, right, for sure.
I knew they, or I was going into the movie, I was confident, and then watching the movie, I was like, this movie was so much fun. I guess I wouldn't be surprised if they just stay clear completely and don't do it. But I was kind of getting bummed out because I was like, I really do want to see us go into Infinity War. And then it happened and I was like, they know what they're doing.
It was perfect.
They are so fucking...
Yeah, it
they,
was so good.
Like this whole year in between Infinity War and Avengers 4, they need to play into that as much as they can. And they've done something like really impressive, just like an entire theater, just the gasp we heard.
Everyone
freaked out. Like we're saying, we all kind of knew they would do something.
Yeah.
But think about how so many people that don't actually listen to stuff like a podcast like this and like just search the internet for every little thing they can find. There's so many people that were like legitimately like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was perfect. That was probably one of my favorite after credit scenes.
I mean, yeah.
A guy, right?
One of the best
ones. I think
ones.
Either in front of us or something, after that happened, he goes like, well, there's no Ant-Man 3. There's no Ant-Man 3.
Because then they even put the question mark at the end of the...
which I thought was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And the last scene of the movie where they're watching a movie.
Oh.
And then it zooms out and it's a fucking laptop. Everything they do with like
the size
and everything,
is
it's
so cool.
Fucking cool, man. Yeah. Yeah.
They did that. I mean, they did that well in the first one, but they played into it so much more in this one, which was great.
Man. Right. Yeah. And then there is a second extra or after credit scene that really just...
At the very end.
More comedy. It's after all that happens, but then the ant is playing on the drums. But the second is right before that where you see like the TV just
and
kind
everything's
of in,
like silent.
Yeah. Just radio silence and everything.
You know what's funny? That ant playing the drum set, I'm pretty sure that was in the trailer for the movie. I think it was that shot.
Really?
It was.
Yeah, and that's the after credits scene.
I remember seeing the trailer and being like, why the hell is there a reason for an ant to be playing a... Like, I was like, oh, that's not even going to be in the movie, which it wasn't, but it was in the after credits scene. But obviously that part was really funny, but the whole, like, TV, like, going dead and everything, that was creepy.
I really want to see, and I don't know if we'll see it in Avengers 4, but I hope maybe one of the TV shows, or the Marvel TV shows, does a good job of it. But... You got to think, like, this whole world, when, like, during this time where half the population's gone, like, that's a very interesting concept to, like, explore, especially if you've watched The Leftovers, which is dealing with 2% of the population going away. I mean, imagine half of it vanishing. Like, I would really like to see some of, like, the state of the, like, the Marvel world with half the population gone.
I mean, there has to be, like, shots in Avengers 4 where they're just traveling somewhere and you just see, like, nothingness.
Well, that's what sucks.
I really hope, even if it's only for maybe the first 10 minutes of the movie, I just hope they, like, very much set up that whole atmosphere.
I feel like
that
would be way cooler. Just because in the Infinity War, obviously they couldn't really build on that too much because it was at the very end of the movie. But you don't get to, like, you only see the effects of, like, the Avengers and, like, what's happening with them. You don't get to see the actual world. So, other than, like, the after credit scene for Infinity War, which is still not even that much.
Right. And even, they show, like, little flashes of it. Because I remember in that after credit scene, even seeing, like, just, like, the helicopter go down. Yeah. And you see cars crash, which, again, comes kind of, like, from the leftovers.
Right.
But it's just stuff like that. Like, I really want to see kind of, like, how the state of the world is with everybody gone. What I just thought about, too, was the first time during the movie that Michael Peña sees the fucking ant in his house. And he just, like, screams. And he looks at him, he's like, Scotty, is that you?
Oh, man. That whole, like, thing whenever they train the ant to just act like a human, that was another thing that's just, like, crazy.
And how it had the little house arrest brace on his leg.
So good. All right, so we should rate it because we're at about 30 minutes now. So we'll start with Tyler. What do you rate it, and is it better than Ant-Man 1?
Oh, you're really going to make me go first?
Yeah, I'm making you go first.
I don't know. You see, I loved the first Ant-Man so much when I saw it, and I like put it in my top five immediately, and I still have this special place in my heart for it and just the way that that story's told. So I think I still like the first one a little bit more, but this one was still really, really fun, very enjoyable. Everybody go see it. I don't know what I would rank. I guess I'd give it like a 7.8, maybe an 8. I don't know. I'd have to like think about it.
7.8.
Yeah.
That
makes sense.
All right, yeah. I'll go with that.
That's high, so. Not, I mean, I'm going to be higher. But anyway, right, so Bailey, I think that I like this better. I actually, after the movie ended, I even like told you, I was like, I don't know if which one I like more, but I like thought about it more and I was thinking about scenes. And I think the first Ant-Man is great and I loved it. But this one, if you look at it more as what it is, which is supposed to be a comedy just in a universe that you love, and the fact that all the comedy hit with me, I don't know. I just really enjoyed this movie, and so I'd probably give it an 8.5.
I would say I think there are things in this movie that are better than stuff in the first one.
Right.
The story-wise, yes, the first one, it's a good origin story, yeah. I feel. So
that's the aspect I like more.
That, but I still think this was more enjoyable.
That makes sense.
It showed more of the character that I wanted to see.
And Hope's character is better in this one, too.
Yeah, so definitely. So much better.
All right, Omar.
Okay. Like I said, the first one I was all right about. I enjoyed it, but that was about it, really, when it came to that. The second one, which I didn't expect at all, but I loved it so much, dude. Really, really funny. Like I said, the plot was simple, but that's all right. I mean, that's what we kind of expected from a character like Ant-Man, really. And it works so well. All the characters, fucking amazing. So, yeah, I'd say eight. I'd say 8 out of 10.
I was close to 8, so.
Yeah, I'd say 8.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I think it's hard, but I think I like it more than the first one. I think it's definitely funnier. And yeah, the first one might tell like more of just like a cohesive, just like origin story, which is, it does a really good job of that. But I think this movie, as a comedy, which is what I'm sort of looking at it as, it was just so funny. And I think I had like a little bit more fun with this. So I think I like it more, and I'd probably give it an 8.5. I thought it was really good. And I think like Ant-Man was obviously the perfect character to follow up Infinity War with. If you're gonna do this, where you're gonna do like a palate cleansing kind of just like not throw away, but just to kind of remind people how happy the MCU can be and just kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I think it definitely accomplished that, and honestly, it leaves you just so ready for the next one. And for the first time in a while, because Marvel movies seem like they're coming out like so often, but I'm literally like, oh, it seems like such a long time to wait now. Because we know the next one's not until March of next year when we get Captain Marvel, which will be a whole new story. Still tying into Infinity War, obviously, but like this just feels like we have like a slight like drought now of no Marvel MCU movies.
We do, because, and I was saying this when we saw this movie, but in the past year, you know, since around, let's say... through last May, like May 2017, we've gotten Guardians, then we had Spider-Man, then we had Thor, then we had Black Panther, and then we had Infinity War. We've had like five within the past like 14 months.
It's crazy because like in actual like annual years, they normally do three. But yeah, if you think about like a year from now, it's really been five.
And now a year from now, we'll just have gotten two more, right? You know?
So that's our review of Ant-Man and the Wasp. Definitely, hopefully you've seen it and this was just kind of you talking about it with us.
Yeah.
But if for some reason you got it spoiled for you, I'm really sorry. And go watch it.
That's
anyway.
Your fault.
You're a dummy.
Even but yeah, if you spoiled it, go watch it.
Yeah, I would say you'll still have a lot
it's
of fun.
It's still really funny.
Really enjoyable.
Us repeating the jokes doesn't do any of them justice. But yeah, if you enjoyed this, definitely go on iTunes. If you have a second, subscribe to us and leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. We read those out sometimes. We need to get back to doing
it. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But yeah, this has been our review. We like to do movie reviews for kind of these bigger movies, so definitely check it out whenever you see something you like. And that's it. See y'all later.
Peace.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.